Welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome to the Think Orange podcast.
A podcast with ideas and conversations to help you influence the next generation.
Here are your hosts, Dave Adamson and Ashley Bohens.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? My name is Dave. I am so thrilled to be back in the Think Orange bunker with my good friend Ashley.
Hello.
Co-hosting it up. You do such a good job as a co-host.
Listen, I tell everybody that about you.
No, you do not. That's just a lie.
But I was like, they don't even need me.
Of course
this is a Dave Adamson show.
Then there's no co-host. It's a dual thing. And you do such a fantastic job. I always enjoy my time in the bunker with you. How was your February?
It's my birthday month, so it's amazing.
So I shouldn't even be talking. This should just be all about you.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I turned 34.
Really?
And you know what? I saw a picture of me and I looked like a lady.
As opposed to what?
Like, I didn't know. I don't know when I turned from like a female girl to like a lady. Like, I looked like an adult. Like, what?
So there's a transition that happens from being a girl to being a female to being a lady?
I don't know. Apparently, I'm learning.
And that's at 34, apparently.
Apparently.
That's amazing. We're going to post that photo up on the show notes, which you can get at the thinkorangepodcast.com. I would love to do that. Can you do that?
Put a picture of me up looking
you,
like a lady.
Yes, you looking like a lady. That would be so, so good. Hey, I'm so glad that you had such a great month. We're just having a great year on the podcast, and we've got so many great episodes coming up. We've done so many great episodes previously, not just this year, but also last year as well. But this episode in particular is going to be one of those ones that really stands out in people's minds. It's going to be one that is super impactful, and we hope super helpful. Today we are talking about the silent pain of pregnancy and infant loss. This is one of those tough topics, but we have got some amazing stories that you're going to hear today that are really going to help the people in your church.
I remember when I was 24 years old and I was at this women's retreat at my church, and it was in October, and I didn't even know that October was infant and pregnancy loss awareness month.
Yeah.
But they asked everyone in the room who had lost a pregnancy or a child to stand up.
Mm.
And I was blown away. I had no idea that it was that common. Like, I felt like most of the room was standing. I mean, granted, it was all women, so that makes sense. But like, I'm looking around and I remember feeling like undone.
Yeah.
That I was so unaware
that
it was so prevalent because I didn't have kids.
Yeah, you know? Well, actually, one out of every three pregnancies ends in loss. And that means that 20 to 30% of the families in our church communities, in our congregations, are silently suffering from this sort of grief that's associated with losing a child. And that's what we're shedding light on today in this episode. So again, we're going to be breaking format just a little bit. Normally we would have a clip, but we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to hear straight out of the gate. We're going to hear some stories from some people who have actually been through this. They were interviewed by our good friend, Kristen Ivey.
Mm-hmm.
It's Lauren Terrell and Leah Jennings, and their stories will just help you gain a greater understanding of the impact that this can have. So we're going to move into that now. And then straight after that, we're going to be hearing from Kenny Conley. He is an incredible man. He and his wife have lost 9 children. I got the opportunity to interview him in one of the most moving interviews I've ever done. So I'm sure you're going to get a lot out of this interview. So we're going to move straight into that right now.
And I would love to talk about that for a minute, because I think whenever somebody's going through pain or grief, there's something in us as humans that we want to say something.
Yes.
So we want to do something, say something, get involved. And yet there is this, we can't fix whatever it is. We can't actually change it or make it better. And so it doesn't always bring out the most helpful comments. And so what are things that you would say going through this you needed from the people closest to you? And, you know, also some of the things maybe you didn't need, like a comment about how this was better.
Yeah.
Initially, the first thought that came to my mind was to say nothing. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true. When I say nothing, I think it's important not to ask the mom to rehash every detail of the miscarriage. Like, don't ask what happened. Don't ask if it was planned. It doesn't matter in the end, you know, a loss is still a loss. Mm-hmm. What I needed at the time, I would have loved to, I know it sounds weird, but I would love for somebody to drop off food on the porch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
On the porch.
Yes.
Don't expect to come in.
Ding dong drops are the best.
Yes. Don't expect to come in because the house is probably in shambles.
Yes.
And don't sit down and want to talk. Mm-hmm. Like, I would love for somebody to have dropped off food. Yeah. And then texted me later and say there's food on your porch. I would have loved that.
Yep.
So yeah, I would definitely say the food, and then also saying I'm here if you want to talk or when you want to talk.
Yes, that's what I was.
Don't keep calling. I have friends who well-intentioned friends who literally called me every single day, and like, I just want to know how you're doing. Yeah. That's a hard question to answer when you're right in
like
the middle
of it. Like an actual phone call or a text.
Text and phone calls because I mean they're friends, so they want to make
sure.
Phone
calls are a lot of energy.
Oh my gosh, yes. Shoot me a text.
If you want to text me every single day, and that's fine too. You could, but don't give me a question.
Yeah,
yeah. No give questions. Give me a, hey, I'm thinking about you today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm always here.
Mm-hmm. That's so helpful.
Yeah, because also there were some people and there were some moments when I really did need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's impossible as a friend of somebody to know when those moments are. Mm-hmm. So you just need to always be available.
Especially those friends who either have never experienced this loss or haven't had kids. Like they, you know, like it's just a,
it is hard.
Different. It's hard, you know, it's hard to explain all of those emotions, you know, like sometimes it would be nice to have friends say, I get it.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk when you're ready.
I had incredible support around both.
What's the best thing that you would say somebody did?
There's a lot.
Yeah.
So with Shiloh, with our first miscarriage, I had two really good friends that came over one Sunday morning. I think my daughter was staying somewhere else with friends or family. And my husband was working at a church at the time, so he was out of the house. And we sat in our dark living room and looked through baby name books because I said I wanted to name my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, I don't know, getting awkward about it or being like, okay, yeah, sure, let me know what you name him. They came over with breakfast and we all sat around and named him. And I said, these are some names that I'm thinking of. This one feels right. That one, you know, and it was like kind of a supportive, like validating my desires to honor him.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, a friend of mine in the same with the miscarriage, she brought over dinner. She had had a lot of miscarriages. So she had a unique ability and right, I guess, in my perspective to share. And I felt comfortable opening up to her about how I was really feeling physically and emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And she just gave me a massage. She rubbed my shoulders because my body was so, like, it just ached my whole body. I don't know if you felt
the tension
And
then everything that you just experienced.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was like it was the same tension and soreness in my muscles as if I had gone through a labor, but I hadn't. I think it was just the physicality of grief, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But she rubbed my shoulders and she was like, yeah, I felt horrible after every miscarriage.
Mm.
And it was just a quiet, I don't know. There's something powerful in silence. I think after my losses, I've been less awkward around silence, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fill the silence.
Both of you, when you look back at your stories of miscarriage and losing a child, you have just a little bit of time between when it has happened and now. And so how do you feel like it's maybe changed you, or because you're kind of leaning into that now to say, how would you respond even differently to somebody else who's gone through this, or they're going through a miscarriage? How would you want to respond to them?
Being open to what they need at the time, you know, not asking, like you said, not asking questions, just being what they need. So, okay, you need somebody to clean your house? I will clean your house. Mm-hmm. Do you need someone to cook? I will cook for you, you mm-hmm. know? And if they do want to share, if they do want to open up in their emotions, allowing them to feel all of their feelings mm-hmm. and express their feelings in their own way. Mm-hmm. Don't shame them. Don't make them feel bad. And resist the urge to tell them that, oh, you know, it's natural. It'll be fine, you know, because unfortunately, this is something that stays with you forever. You yeah. know, there's not a day or week that goes by that yeah. I don't think about the yeah. son that I lost, you know, and it's okay. Resist the urge to fix him. Yes. We don't need fixing. What we do need to do though is have a safe place to experience those emotions in whatever way that they, mm-hmm. whatever way they look like.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say the same thing. Don't mm-hmm. fix it. Mm-hmm. I used to be the person that would try to find the perfect thing. Like, oh, what's going to help them mm-hmm. get the right perspective on this loss? They just haven't thought of this thing yet.
Yeah, and what's going to make them less sad?
If they can take in the fact that everything happens for a reason.
Oh, my goodness. I hated that phrase. It's true. Yeah. I know it's true, but when you're in the
Let's
heart of it.
Let's just all stop saying please. Everything happens for
please,
me. Take that please. Phrase out of our vocabulary.
Because it's never helpful. Like, no. You never think to yourself, you know what? It is. Like,
right.
Thank no. you, God. Like, you don't. No. You never say that. Like,
no.
You now, even, you'll come to a point where you realize that it's true, and you'll come to a place of peace about it, but you will. That mm-hmm. phrase never feels comforting to mm-hmm. say everything happens for
no,
a reason.
No. Yeah. So those phrases, I now am okay with silence.
Advice is not helpful is what you're saying.
Advice is not helpful. I'm okay reaching out to people that I don't necessarily know really well. Mm. And like I said, not questioning or asking for them to make me feel better, which is sometimes mm-hmm. how some of it came across. But in just reaching out, like if I see somebody on Facebook or social media or know a friend through a friend, you know, hey, I'm really sorry this is happening to you mm-hmm. and that you're having to experience this. It's painful, mm-hmm. and I'm here.
Mm-hmm. One thing I think about when I listen to you both talk, and you've both been so gracious to share your stories and open to talk about it, is that there tends to be maybe a difference between how I see our generation moms mm-hmm. today processing miscarriage and loss mm-hmm. and how our mothers or grandmothers processed mm-hmm. the same loss. And maybe not difference in the way that we feel about it, but maybe right. difference in the way that we talk or share about it, which is sometimes I think I see it's like grandmothers don't exactly know what to do with mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to a grandmother, yeah. great-grandmother who's saying, you know, you have a daughter who's going through this that is... I don't know if you feel that generational gap, and it's just a question to say, is there something different about how this has historically been dealt with?
So my mother had a miscarriage, and she was always really good about talking about it, and it was sort of a known thing. And I think she handled it pretty well. in our childhood and growing up. It was something that I felt comfortable maybe talking with her about. Our grandmother had a lot of miscarriages and maybe did not handle it the same way. I think in that time, it was, you know, the 50s or so. She said to me after our stillbirth, or said to my mom, who then relayed it to me, that it was just not, that she was just concerned about me, seeing the baby and naming the baby, taking pictures of the baby. Like, in her mind, the sooner you whisk it away and forget about it, the easier it's going to be, the quicker you're going to, you know, forget. And it's hard. I would want to say to a mother or grandmother that has been raised thinking that way, maybe that's not true, because I think I saw a lot of residual effects, mm-hmm. a lot of debris from my grandmother having experienced multiple losses, even the death of a son that lived for a few hours or days. Mm-hmm. I think she told herself maybe that she was over it and mm-hmm. had forgotten, but that wasn't totally true. So I would just say, really think about it. Think about if you've had those losses, and you think the best thing was to move on quickly, maybe take a little time to reflect and question if mm-hmm. that is true. And if you haven't had a loss and you believe that that's the best way to handle it because that's the way women around you handled it,
say nothing.
Yeah.
It's quietly not supportive.
It's not.
Yeah. Be quietly. I would say that.
Yeah.
Just be supportive, but quietly.
Yeah.
Sure. People need different amounts of time or different things to be able to process.
Grief is very, very tricky.
Mm.
Yeah. It can affect you in ways that you maybe would never connect.
Mm-hmm.
And years later,
oh my goodness,
decades later, that I've seen in my mother and grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so glad to be in the Think Orange podcast bunker today with somebody who I've spoken to once before, Kenny Connolly. Kenny, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here.
We're so glad that you are with us. Now, Kenny, just before we get into today's topic, could you tell us a little bit about what you do in your day-to-day?
Yeah, I'm a next-gen pastor at Mission Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. So I lead at my church all ministry from babies through high school.
Where Joel Thomas is the lead pastor.
That's correct.
He's a former colleague of mine from North Point Community Church. Absolutely great pastor, right?
Yes, he is.
He's a phenomenal leader.
He's a great leader. That's why I'm at Mission.
Yeah.
He was looking for a children's pastor. And I've done Next Gen, and everyone told me, if you have an opportunity to work for Joel, go work for Joel. And so I work for Joel.
That's awesome. Well, it's great to have you in here, as I said. But today, specifically, we're talking about a new product that you have out called Made Known. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what it involves?
Yeah, to say it's mine is an overstatement. It's really a wonderful collaborative resource that Orange put, and my wife and I were able to be a part of influencing it and contributing to it. But it's a resource that helps churches create an event to love and care for parents who have experienced pregnancy loss.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful resource to make that event an easy to execute event that really touches so many people in a way that they didn't know that they needed help with mourning that loss.
Now, you obviously have a very significant story around this. Could you share that with our listeners?
Yes. So I'm a father of three kids, but we've been pregnant at least 9 times.
Wow.
Those are 9 confirmed pregnancies. There was a handful of positive pregnancy tests that weren't necessarily medically proven, but for us, we, you know, we carry the weight of those kids that we, you know, didn't get to hold.
Yeah.
And so we were married for about 7 or 8 years, Sarah and I, and before we had our first, we got pregnant for the first time and lost that child about 8 weeks in.
Right.
Got pregnant again, lost that child about 8 or 9 weeks in. And for me, you know, my desire was always to have, you know, just a ton of kids. I wanted a ton of kids.
Yeah.
And it was in the season where, like, God didn't seem to be allowing that to happen.
Yeah.
And it was definitely hard on me, but my personality type was, well, let's just try again. Let's you know, it didn't work. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
And my wife was feeling the loss of each one, of actually losing a baby.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it caused frustration for us that would eventually lead us to counseling and to process through how she was processing the loss and versus how I was processing the loss. And you know, we have 3 beautiful kids with us now, but this is a part of our story. It was painful. It was about a decade of pain and loss, but it's part of our story now, and we love the story that we have. And yeah. And the hope of knowing that one day we get to be with all of our kids.
Yeah.
And actually, God did grant the desire of my heart to have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
And I do. So.
Wow, that's such a unique perspective. What in those moments, what emotional toll did it take on your marriage?
You know, again, I think it's just the personality type of, for me, I'm a very driven person.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a results-oriented leader.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, when we lost that, it was crushing, but it was like, well, this is when we get up and go for this again. And my wife was just, she felt the pain in such a, because the baby was in her. It was, yeah. It was in her, it was her child. She, you know, even in the days afterwards, she named the child, and she processed and mourned in a very different way
yeah.
than me. I saw it. And that was as a husband going through this, learning that how I mourn and deal with this is very different than my wife.
Yeah.
And she didn't see it as a failed attempt that needs to be tried again. But, and I think that's where, what led us eventually to counseling was we had 2 kids and I really wanted more, and she didn't want to lose any more babies.
Right.
And I think I had to learn to see from her perspective, and that was a counselor what helped us. And,
yeah.
And she leaned in to look at what the desire of my heart, and the funny part of it, after weeks and weeks and weeks of counseling, of getting to a point where we were trying to make a decision, are we going to try again? And then we just got pregnant. And
yeah.
The counselor shook his head, like, all this work, this is great. So, and she's such a gift. She's such, you know, our third child, such a gift, and God did amazing work through us and through this process. But, yeah, it was hard. It definitely, nobody prepares you as you say, I do.
Yeah.
Of the pain, the unexpected, like nobody plans for this.
Yeah.
And I think that's the what I love about the Pregnancy Loss Awareness Month and things, that nobody goes into marriage thinking we're going to lose 2 or 3 kids to miscarriage, and how devastating that is to a relationship and can be a cause for tension or divorce or those things. And so I think it's good to bring awareness, not necessarily that you go into a pregnancy, you know, fearful or afraid, but to maybe be better equipped on how to process that pain
yeah.
and process what really happens. And I think what happens with when you go through something like that, people come out of the woodwork raising their hands like,
yeah.
we lost 2 or yeah. we lost 1. And I think that's why I love this resource so much, is because there's camaraderie in that loss.
Yeah.
But so many people never have an opportunity to share that.
Yeah.
And so people are mourning alone and maybe feel like they're the only ones who understand this or going through this. And an event like Made Known allow people to come out
yeah.
and connect with other people who are feeling what they feel or have felt that, and find community and find healing and find an opportunity to share their story
yeah.
and celebrate their babies.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. I'm wondering, like, I would love to find out a little bit more about what the resource is. But before I do that, how did your church and family come around you during these losses?
You know, again, even in this process, when we first saw the pregnancy test, and we immediately picked up the phone and called all of our friends and all of our family, and we're so excited. And I think the hardest part was having to pick up the phone and call them all back and tell them, plans changed. And so then the next time we got pregnant, we didn't tell anyone right away because the last thing we wanted to do was have to call everyone back again. And so I don't think that people knew how to, people knew how to respond to us. I mean, one of the best things that happened was when we found out that we had lost the baby, and we texted a few people locally, and then an hour later there was a gallon of chocolate ice cream on our front porch, and that ministered to us in such a powerful way of not having to talk to somebody, but just was able to find comfort and safety in a gallon of ice cream. But so many people, they want to mourn with you, and they want to talk with you, and maybe that's not right, not okay right in the moment, and giving us a space. So I think, again, like this resource helps even people, loved ones, know how to engage with a family who just lost somebody. I think our parents were very loving and very supportive, and they stood with us in that, and the church as best as they knew how, they were there. But again, there's not a lot of handles on how to approach a family in that loss, or what do you say, and what are the things that you do. And so that was hard. And so for us, the way that we were ministered to oftentimes was just very, God allowed certain things to happen that were unintentional. It's definitely spirit led. But again, I feel like there's so many people that just don't know who's dealing with this pain or how to help them with that. And so we were fortunate. I think the Holy Spirit prompted people to minister to us in a way that was very meaningful to us. But there were many opportunities as well where people said things that just weren't right in the right moment. It caused more pain. But again, it's because this is a not often discussed issue, and it takes people time to get over. And I've walked, even with my staff, I had someone on my staff who experienced a miscarriage. And I remember just 2 weeks after the miscarriage, and she told maybe four or five people, and just sitting in a tech booth. She was our large group leader. And in the tech booth, one of the volunteers made just a silly side comment about something about being pregnant or something like that. And he had no idea. But then I saw the look on her face, and she left the room, and she went straight to the bathroom and just bawled her eyes out. And it's one of those things that once you've gone through this, then you see things through a different lens. And there's no way that this guy would have ever known what to say or how to say. He didn't know her situation, but it's easy to hurt, and it's easy to say the wrong thing or to do the wrong thing in that moment.
Why do you think it is so often not talked about?
I think it depends on. I talk about it a lot because it's part of my story. And so my staff members, the people that have been on my staff who have had miscarriages, on Mother's Day, I send them a Mother's Day card, even once they have had children, because I know that they need to be affirmed that they are a mother. But I know that because I've gone through the experience. But I think there's a lot of leaders that haven't, and so they just don't know. And again, I also feel like it may be because the way that men process this pain is different than the way a mother processes this pain. And the people that often have the loudest voice may be the man, the pastor or the ministry leader who hasn't felt the loss in the same way that his wife has. So it's not brought up. It's not really talked about. Or maybe it's a side note in a sermon illustration, but not really explored as an opportunity to bring healing to a deep wound and deep hurt.
Do you know the number of couples that have miscarriages?
They say it's about one in every three pregnancy ends in miscarriage. Oftentimes it's unknown. Sometimes it's so early on in the pregnancy. I think it's a beautiful way that God made our bodies, that when something doesn't fit right or doesn't go right, that the body ends the pregnancy for safety reasons. The child wouldn't survive long. But so a lot of parents are never aware that they were pregnant. But the studies that I've heard is that it's one in three pregnancies in loss.
And I don't mean to reduce it down to a number or a statistic, but numbers matter because people count.
Correct.
And when you look at those statistics, that's a high number of couples in any church that has been dealing with this loss, often in silence.
Yes. And I think it's, if you were to just even in a room and ask, you know, who's dealt with, you'd be amazed by the number of hands that would go up.
Yeah.
And some you may know about, but many you wouldn't. And I think it extends beyond just pregnancy loss, but it's even the people who have been trying to have a baby and haven't been able to, or a past decision that they made where they no longer have that child.
Yeah.
And it's a devastating situation because things happen. I know even when we lost our first kids, all of a sudden the first thing that my wife did was she would begin to first doubt herself of, did I take care of my body well? Was this my fault? What did I do? What could I have done differently that would have saved our child? And I know a lot of women that immediately go there. And so it's just, there needs to be a place where they can talk and where they can unpack this and be better educated about what happened and how it happened and be able to just mourn in a way that's healthy for them.
So tell us a little bit more about what the Made Known resource is all about.
So, and actually how it came about was about 6 or 7 years ago, my wife was pregnant with one of our kids, and it was Mother's Day was quickly approaching, and she just, God laid it on her heart to create an event for other moms. I think there's a couple other women that she'd met who'd also had experienced loss. And so they decided, as really like 2 or 3 weeks before Mother's Day, let's do this event. And they named it Born Into Heaven. And even about a week before the event happened, we miscarried the child that she had at that point in time. But she wanted to do it. She wanted to make this event. And it was a beautiful event. People came from all over. People came from that we didn't know. Word spread. People came from other cities to come be a part of it. And it was incredibly healing for Sarah and I as well. And we did the event. And Sarah helped a couple other churches do the event as well, in a similar event. And we had a connection with Kristen Ivy here at Orange, and she experienced this through her family and said, we really need to resource the church of how to better equip this in the way that you guys did with your event. So we talked about it for a couple of years, and I think Sarah flew out to Atlanta to sit down and talk about this with some of the leaders and work on content. And so now you, in a box that you can download, is scripts and graphics and all the resources. There's some printed resources that you can share with families. I think there's like 3 or 4 different guides for family members. How do you talk about this with a family member who's lost a child, to people in your church, people in your city? Just very practical resources that the church can begin equipping their people with on how to deal with this situation and how to better talk and care for people.
Yeah.
But there's an event with invitations and kind of an outline of how to host the event. And it's really very much a plug and play. There's even a sample sermon script for someone who might lead that experience with a really tangible activity that you can do at tables or whatever to help parents actually deal with that loss and in a powerful way. And so it's all there for you. So a lot of people, because you might be a leader who you haven't experienced this.
Yeah.
And what do you know about putting together an event to help people mourn something that you haven't experienced?
Yeah.
And this resource helps you with that. It helps you to be able to put together a beautiful experience and walk you through. It's so easy to modify and make perfect for your specific environment, your audience. But it takes a lot of the legwork out of creating something from scratch.
Kenny, that is incredible. Where can churches go to check out this resource and pick it up?
They can go to the Orange store and just type in Made Known.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be hard to find. And it's a great resource that they can either pick up and have it shipped to them, or they can download it directly to their computer.
Hey guys, Kevin here. I have a bad habit as a producer, sometimes jumping on the podcast and not announcing who I am. I just wanted to personally say how meaningful that is. We lost our first kid, and bottom line is the story. But I think for me, I never processed any of it. You know, didn't even know to mourn. You know, it was a weird thing. And then my wife encountered some of the content because of Kristen, and just giving our lost child a name. Mm-hmm. I had not grieved ever. And it was over almost 3 years ago. And just that process, I might as well say thank you. Mm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, thank you, Kevin, for being vulnerable then. And thank you, Kenny and Sarah as well. I think this is such an incredible thing and often overlooked thing. And I'm so glad that somebody put a resource like this together to give the words around this and to create an event where people can mourn but also celebrate and look forward in hope. I love that, and so practical. This is incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Kevin, for sharing your story as well. I want you to all know that you can go to orangestore.org to pick up this resource. It's called Made Known. Incredible resource. I would highly recommend that every church picks up a copy of this, because those numbers are incredible and people are suffering in silence, and it's time we got that out into the open and that it was made known. Thanks so much, Kenny.
Thank you.
Wow, what a powerful, powerful interview. And I just want to say how much courage it takes for somebody to talk about something that's so close to their heart, that's such a source of loss for them. Yeah. And I know for me, listening to the interview and listening to the late girl stories, that it answered a question for me that I've always asked. Like, I just haven't always understood why people don't talk about it. Like, it's hard to know as a ministry leader or even a friend how to be there for someone if they're not telling people or they're not talking about it. And I feel like the interview you did with Kenny really helped answer that question for me.
Yeah. Sitting in the room and hearing Kenny's story, but then also hearing Kevin, who's such a great friend of ours, share his pain. There's something innate in us, I think, as people who work in church, that we want to fix a problem. And sometimes there's nothing to fix. It's not that they're broken. It's just that they need to have an opportunity to share and have an opportunity to talk about their emotions in their own time. And so I felt super privileged just to be in the room to see that happening.
It actually was freeing, because I think it gave permission that the power of presence is enough.
That's so good. Ash, you just summed it up. The power of presence is enough. And, we often don't know what to do in situations like this. And it's often hard for church leaders to come up with what they feel like they need to do in those sorts of situations. And sometimes it's just, like you said, the power of presence might be enough. Now, you might be thinking, listening to this episode, hey, what do I do? Those statistics of 20 to 30% of the families in your community have experienced this. You might be wondering, hey, what can I do? Well, we want to let you know that October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. And we know that that's, a little while away now. It's several months away. But now is the time for you to start planning something to make that a special month for those families who are in your community. So we have actually created something that we hope will help you pastor and support and care for those families. It's called Made Known, a pregnancy and infancy loss event created to acknowledge the babies in your church and in your family who were made by God, known by their parents, and will be made known through remembering and honoring their short but significant lives. This resource will guide your church through hosting an event for families wrestling with the isolating pain of losing a child. You will get the tools to connect grieving families and not only recognize their loss, but give them permission to grieve the child that they never knew. You can find out more by visiting orangestore.org, orangestore.org, and searching for Made Known.
And if you're listening and this topic is really personal to you, from all of us here at Orange, we want to say we're so sorry for your loss. And I hope that this podcast was a step in healing for you as you heard other people talk about it. And if you've never talked about a baby you've lost, I would encourage you to find somebody you trust to talk to about it so that you can process through your grief.
And, we would love to hear your story. So if you go to the show notes, you can find them at thinkorangepodcast.com. You can connect with us. We can put you in contact with Kevin. We can put you in contact with Kenny and some of the ladies who shared their story. So please reach out to us. We would love to have the opportunity to support and care for you as well, because, we are all part of a big family, and you guys are on our hearts and you're in our prayers, and we would love to help in any way that we can. Thanks so much for listening to this episode. We hope
that it inspires and supports you.